Welcome to the Journey of Managed Services, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now, here's your host, Tom Temin.
Last fall, the Defense Department ordered all of its components to make a priority of moving their IT systems to commercial clouds. The Pentagon's forthcoming JEDI contract is only one way to do that. The Air Force has already started moving some of its large applications to the cloud. It's using the Managed Service Office at the Air Force Lifecycle Management Center as its front door to help Air Force mission owners make that transition. Mark Bacon is the MSO's program manager. He spoke with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu about some of the progress they've made so far.
We set up a kind of a storefront or a front door, so to speak, for migration of Air Force apps and services into clouds. When we first started out, when the MSO here was first stood up, we were mainly working migration of Air Force apps and services into DISA hosting environments, either DISA Capacity Services or MilCloud. That's been a kind of a hit or miss proposition. We've had some successes, some failures migrating into DISA, and it's been a little bit costly for us as the Air Force to host stuff there. So even DISA and the DoD have realized that maybe commercial cloud is a better way to go. So we've kind of evolved from mainly migrating things into DISA hosting environments to, based on DoD direction from late last year, going to commercial cloud. So the whole DoD has been directed by the SecDef to go to the commercial cloud, take all our apps and services and go to commercial cloud. So our MSO has kind of evolved from a front door for DISA, and now we're kind of a front door or an outreach function for getting Air Force apps and services into commercial clouds.
Just to stick on the DISA point for a second, you said it's been hit or miss. What have been some of the challenges? Is it really just the pricing model that they've had up until this point?
Yeah, the pricing model has proved costly because it's kind of the old-fashioned, you know, like we were maintaining our own data center where you're paying for 24/7 to support their infrastructure. But just their kind of growing pains of, this is the federal government building its own cloud. So it's kind of like, to use an Air Force analogy, is kind of like the federal government trying to get into the business of building bombers and fighters and also having the pilots that fly them, you know, and operations. So, I don't think the DoD really has the wherewithal to manage these data centers, and I think they're finally kind of realizing that it was a costly proposition to do it as a federal government. And so there's no way we can match the investment that you're out there, your Amazons or your Microsofts are putting into setting up data centers around the world and burying all the deep fiber that's required to network all these data centers together.
Mm-hmm. And I think DISA has recognized the same things that you've just said, and that's kind of the whole rationale behind MilCloud 2.0. Have you guys played in that space at all yet? Have you dipped your toe into that more commercially provided version of MilCloud yet?
We have, and at first we were wondering, frankly speaking, why the DoD would try to match, what the private sector's already invested in cloud technology and data centers around the world. But then we started to see, as we talked to the contractors that are setting up MilCloud 2.0 and OMS, which is another DISA-run commercial cloud, that they might prove to be a good environment that's kind of like a way station or a purgatory for our really old apps and services to go that need to rely on what we call like legacy, support services. And we can put them there until the app owners figure out how to translate that into something that will work in a genuine commercial cloud like Amazon or Microsoft.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that. So when a mission owner comes to you from within the Air Force with an application, how do you kind of rack and stack what the most appropriate target environment is for them?
So the actual prioritization of which applications go first, that we leave that up to our business lines out there in the Air Force, what we call our functional managers, which would be, pay and personnel, ops, logistics, other financial. And so those functionals decide what their priorities are, and we just kind of merge those together into one queue of apps awaiting migration. But as far as, so that's really kind of what we do now in the MSO. And now, by the way, I'm the program manager for what we call the cloud transition team. So that's what the MSO is now for the Air Force. And I'm actually a part of a larger team called the Common Computing Environment, and that's the program management office that we have here under the PEO C3INN at Hanscom Air Force Base. So I'm just kind of like the front door or the outreach function for a larger team that does the whole onboarding and migration of apps from their current data centers to a commercial cloud. But so I am involved in that cloud transition team function. I am involved in the brokering decision on which cloud might be best for a given application that comes in. And the way we do that is we kind of have some discussions with the app owners and our technical folks, and they ask some pointed questions about the technical characteristics of the applications. And from what we see, there's a connection there between some technical aspects of an application, like is it Oracle-based, is it Java-based, is it .NET, is it SQL Server. There's certain questions, basic questions you can ask, and you say, okay, that's a good one to go to Microsoft, or that's a good one to go to AWS. And so that's kind of how we do the initial triage on these apps when they come in. And then as they get into the migration process, things may change, but for the most part, that initial brokering is usually correct.
You mentioned common computing environment. I mean, just the words there suggest that you guys are doing or trying to do some baselining of legacy technologies and bring them into some degree of similarity as far as technical baselines before they move into a cloud so that you're not just lifting and shifting. Is that about right?
Really, it's not that we don't have that much control. So we're looking to comply with Air Force and DoD direction to get out of the infrastructure as provider business and get more into the consuming infrastructure as a service. So your commercial cloud service providers out there will kind of dictate to us what the infrastructure is that we're going to be hosting in, and then we kind of adjust to that. But we do try to, with the applications themselves, we know that there's a certain amount of refactoring that needs to be done to make those applications function better in the cloud and leverage cloud native services, which is the most economical and efficient way to go. So we're not really trying to baseline the clouds, so to speak, as a common architecture across the board. I mean, maybe common computing environment's a little bit of a misnomer in that regard, but we are establishing kind of a common computing environment in the sense that we, in our program management office, set up the environments, we provide the security, we provide the authority to operate for the environment, we provide some common services that we centrally fund and manage. So it is, in that respect, it is kind of a baseline environment that they go into, but we provide them all these things that are centrally funded and managed, which makes it a very cost-saving and good proposition for them, because the only thing they have to pay once they get migrated is their compute store costs or their rent, so to speak, their monthly utility bill, so to speak, as they go forward.
Yeah, my last question wasn't really clear. I wasn't suggesting that you're trying to baseline the cloud environment itself, really the applications that are moving into those environments. Is there work that has to be done on the front end to make those applications ready for the cloud and potentially interoperable between different cloud environments, depending on which one they're moving to?
There is. Yeah, and that's that refactoring that I was talking about. And then in some cases, we are looking at portability or the ability to move from cloud to cloud. And in that case, there's some containerization and some other buzzwords that we get into where you make an application where it is kind of portable between clouds. But so we do all that there. So there is a certain amount of work that needs to be done in these applications to take them from their legacy environment into a commercial cloud.
Mark Bacon is Program Manager for the Managed Services Office at the Air Force Lifecycle Management Center, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. Hear more of the interview after this quick break. I'm Tom Temin.
General Dynamics Information Technology and CSRA are now one company offering next-generation solutions across the government. Next is here. Find out more at thenextgdit.com.
We continue our interview with Mark Bacon, Program Manager for the Managed Services Office at the Air Force Life Cycle Management Center, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu.
You talked earlier about the fact that you've been looking more and more to the commercial marketplace, vice DISA, where you started. What's kind of the landscape of the cloud marketplace look like from a DoD perspective from where you sit and what's available? I mean, just going back 5 years ago, the number of CSPs that had FedRAMP accreditation, you could easily count them on less than five fingers. I mean, how's that changed and how's that evolved the way that you guys do your mission?
So we do, in the common computing environment right now, we've set up enclaves within Amazon Web Services or AWS and Microsoft's Azure cloud. And those are their GovCloud spaces that are FedRAMP certified. I think we're working up to the IL5 level now, Impact Level 5, which is, you know, it's HIPAA, it's national security systems. It's unclassified, but there's a certain sensitive information we can host in these environments.
As high as you can go before you get to secret, right?
Right, right. But I think what you'll find if you talk to other people around at the DoD level especially is that Amazon Web Services, AWS, has been is pretty far ahead of the other cloud service providers. Microsoft is catching up fast. They've been investing a lot and working a lot on getting their FedRAMP certifications. So like I said, we're right up to IL5 with both AWS and Azure. But we, in my office, we're responsible for keeping an eye out for other cloud environments that might be a good hosting environment for Air Force apps. And so we're looking at like Google or IBM or Oracle. And I think within the next week or so, we're going to go out and meet with some people from Google here in Boston and talk about where they're at as far as their FedRAMP certifications and how ready they are to receive, you know, any DoD apps or services.
The Air Force mission owners that you work with, how do they tend to come to you? Is it usually a sort of a self-initiated process where they come to you and say, hey, we think we can save money or be more effective by migrating to the cloud? Or, I mean, do they tend to be driven by leadership mandates to get out of legacy data centers, that kind of thing? Maybe some of both.
I think it's more like the latter. I mean, it's just because the mindset, it's not any kind of denigration of the functional app owners, but they're happy where they are and they're getting services for free. So their mindset is more like, you know, why break something if it's working okay? And, you know, why are we doing this? But leadership, our Air Force leadership has done a pretty good job of convincing them that it's more economical to go to the cloud. And then, you know, DoD and Air Force have just come out and said, thou shalt. So they know they have to go. So now that's how they really come to us. But what we're seeing, it's kind of interesting at the Air Force, from an Air Force perspective, in that we have these air staff functional managers, our business lines like pay, personnel, ops, logistics, et cetera, that come to us with applications they want to migrate. And those are mostly enterprise applications, you know, that work across the Air Force enterprise. But I also get a lot of calls from just units out there. So I'll have some staff sergeant in a comm squadron calling me up and saying, hey, there's three offices on my base that need 3 terabytes of storage in the cloud. How do we get there? And so we have to deal with that too and try to fit them into our priorities or get a functional manager to take ownership of those applications all the way down to the base and the squadron level. And so that's really kind of making this an Air Force-wide effort right now is everybody from the air staff down to the lowest squadron out there. They all know they need to migrate their stuff to the cloud. Now they're just trying to figure out how, and then they hear about us, and then they come to us and say, you know, okay, we heard the CC is a way to go. How do we do this? How do we get into your environments? And then we've set up our website to kind of manage that and let them know what happens to their applications once they get into the process and how they get signed up and queued up.
Yeah, how much foresight do they get into the process before they actually start migrating? I mean, are they able to forecast their actual cloud costs before they start the migration process and kind of model out how things are going to look before they actually make the move?
And that's kind of a model that's evolving for us right now as we get experience with migration. And we're very much in the early stages of that. We only have 7 applications that are up and running in commercial clouds right now that are in what we call production. You know, they're actually operating on the network. But what it's been up to this point is we really don't get the total cost picture until we hook these applications up with a migration vendor that does the refactoring and getting them into the commercial cloud. at that point they do some analysis and they say, okay, this is what it's going to cost you, and this is how long it's going to take to migrate you. And we try to give insight to this, all this process, on our website. We talk about all the things that happen to your apps if once you come through our office and into the CCE. But we know the Army right now is out there. They have an office called AMBO that's in there. It's also an acquisition entity. It's in their PEO for Enterprise Information Services. Mm-hmm. They provide cost estimating for the refactoring and the migration, as well as the compute store cost that the apps will have to pay once they're in the cloud. For our part, we were only able to connect our application owners with the cost calculators that are out there for AWS and Azure, and we send them, we have a little tutorial on our website, and we send them to these websites, these cost calculators, and they can figure out, they know their capacity requirements, so they can figure out what their compute store costs will be. But we can't plug in that other migration piece until we actually make that connection with the migration vendor. But we are exploring cost estimating tools right now where we can give a better end-to-end cost estimate for these applications when they come to the front door and say, okay, you know, based on the characteristics and the size, et cetera, of your application, this is what the whole thing is going to cost you, from the migration to the compute store cost once you're in the cloud.
Mm. So out of those seven applications that you mentioned that are now in production mode, how have things gone broadly? I know it's hard to generalize, but have the cost savings that the mission owners hope for materialized? What are some of the early lessons out of those so far?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of actuals. You know, it's only been going since like last fall where we had these applications up, and that was, we did six initially, and then we did another one in our Azure environment that just went operational about a month or so ago. But we learned a lot of lessons here. The first six we did what they call a lift and shift. So that was just taken. And everybody's thinking, you know, well, we just need to get these applications in the cloud, and then we'll worry about how they work in the cloud once they get there. So at that time, last year, we migrated six applications in a lift and shift mode. So that meant all their legacy services came in with them. There was automation that we couldn't take advantage of in the cloud. And when you're working with legacy services, that's not as efficient and cost-effective as you want it to be either. And so we really had a degradation of the capabilities by doing this lift and shift and putting them in our environment to begin with in AWS. So we realized that the problems with that, and we just recently started refactoring all those applications to go cloud native back in the same environment. And now they're still in production, and we're getting them operating more efficiently and cheaper than they were when we did that initial lift and shift last year.
So how does that process work? Are you within your office helping them do some of that refactoring, or are you just telling them, as you know, just as a matter of reality, you guys need to think about how this is going to work in the cloud, and you need to shut down some of those legacy services because they will cost you more if you just lift them and shift them into a cloud environment?
Right. So, yeah, we communicated that message out, and these were apps mainly from our A4 director, which is logistics. So we told them, you know, hey, this isn't working well for you. But we actually very actively manage that in the sense that we have the contracts. We connect the application owners with the migration vendors. So we've taken charge of all that because we manage the environments and getting these applications in the environment. In this case, with the six applications that we did the lift and shift, we connected them with new migration vendors that are doing the refactoring and getting them up and operational using cloud native services in the same environment.
Mark Bacon is Program Manager for the Managed Service Office of the Air Force's Lifecycle Management Center, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. We'll have the rest of the interview after this one more break. I'm Tom Temin.
General Dynamics Information Technology and CSRA are now one company offering next-generation solutions across the government. Next is here. Find out more at thenextgdit.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of our interview with Mark Bacon, Program Manager for the Managed Services Office of the Air Force Lifecycle Management Center.
Mark, you and I were talking a little bit off the air about Air Force Space Command's Enterprise IT as a service project, which is just now getting off the ground. They're thinking about a lot of the same things you are. How plugged in are you to that project? What sort of cross-pollination is happening between these two initiatives?
So we have program management for EIT as a service in another branch within our same division here on Hanscom. And we communicate with them quite frequently. And what it is EIT as a service is actually the larger effort. And our cloud migration effort here, migrating Air Force apps into commercial clouds in the CCE, is just is one part of that larger effort. So when you think about EIT as a service as a program, enterprise IT as a service, it's a very natural fit for what we do is migrating Air Force apps and services into a commercial cloud, which offers us infrastructure as a service or platform as a service or software as a service. All those are enterprise IT services that we're trying to leverage. Again, going back to that original DoD and Air Force direction to get out of the infrastructure provider business and get into consuming infrastructure as a service from whomever, and right now commercial cloud seems to be the way to go. So we're definitely kind of a big part of EIT as a service, although there are some other components like base level infrastructure, our BIDI program, base IT infrastructure. That's EIT as a service as a program is going around looking at bases right now to see how they might subsume all that into enterprise as a service. And then we have another program that just came over to our branch. It's that's the program that's directed at, it's called CHES, and it's migrating Air Force email, link, and SharePoint from Air Force data centers into Microsoft Office 365 Cloud, which is software as a service.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned base infrastructure. What makes up that whole package that's potentially cloud eligible?
So that's at the base level, that's everything that kind of goes up to the pipe that goes off the base. So, all your networks that are within the base would be part of the base IT infrastructure, including, your everybody's desktop PCs and the servers that lash those together at the base level. Right now, we just went through a couple years worth of replenishing all the IT that's out there, doing a tech refresh on all that. Now we're just trying to take that equipment and outsource it and say, instead of Air Force Blue Suiters maintaining that, we want some contractor to come in and maintain all that as one big enterprise.
Mm-hmm. So what's ahead? You mentioned that you've done 7 applications now so far. What's the workload that you still have in front of you? Give us a sense of the scope and scale of all the different Air Force customers that are coming to you at this point and potentially migrating.
So as I mentioned before, the DoD has directed all the services to shut down their data centers and migrate everything. The most recent SecDef and Air Force guidance is go to a commercial cloud. So as of last fall. We're starting to build our queues to migrate apps to comply with that direction. Right now, the queue we're building of apps is currently in the hundreds. We prioritize the apps going across all the Air Force functional areas, and we anticipate that's going to grow into the thousands very quickly. So we know the demand is increasing dramatically, and we're trying to scale up to meet it.
You've been listening to an interview with Mark Bacon, Program Manager for the Managed Services Office of the Air Force Lifecycle Management Center, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. We'll post the interview at federalnewsradio.com. Use the search term Insight of the Month. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to The Journey to Managed Services, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. The entire program is available on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search GDIT.